Backseat Box Office, episode number 68 for the weekend of January 6th through the 8th, 2012. Hey, this is Tony.
This is Jonathan.
We are the Backseat Producers. Welcome.
Hi.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, I don't know. I haven't seen the scores yet, so I don't know if it's happy.
It is the last year of ever, according to the Mayans.
That is true.
So, live it up.
What did I see? I don't remember where the quote comes from, but somebody said, yep, we're 353 days from people no longer talking about the Mayans.
I saw someone, it was a comedian on Twitter, said something to the effect, if the Mayans were so good at predicting the future, shouldn't there still be Mayans? So one of the interesting things to note this past week was, first, there was some things that people noticed in the comments that there might have been an episode that was backdated because I got busy and I did not release it in a timely fashion. So, yes, it did get backdated. Mostly because if anybody goes back and listens, we've kept a fairly regular schedule of the Friday releases. So, I did backdate it. I'm not ashamed to admit that. The only problem with backdating it is we talked about Pinball FX, you guys having that contest.
The tournament?
The tournament on Way of Game. Excuse me, on Way of the Game. And how Andrew and I were part of the competition and how it was still open. Unfortunately, it was actually released after the contest was over. Blah, blah, blah. So Wednesday night, last week, after we record, finish up here, hop on the Xbox, and start playing. And I notice shortly after that, Andrew signs on and starts playing. And you sign on and start playing. And I'm playing, and I have a score of like 20-some million.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was 26 million. And your score is way ahead of ours, but Alex's is like 40.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's in shooting distance. that is a goal that it might be achievable. So I start playing. I play for a little while. And I get to the point, and I notice that that Andrew has like a 24 million score. It's like, oh, He's improving. He's moving up there. still not to my 26. So I make the conscious decision. I'm to the point where it's like, okay, this is the last game I'm gonna play. It's very late. I'm done. I'm gonna play out this game. Good or bad, I'm gonna call it a night. And I get probably about 45 seconds into my first ball. You got to have a message from Andrew. Huh. Wonder what that is. I keep playing. Don't even bother to look at the message. First ball, I just like knock it out of the park. Like 17 million on the first ball. End up getting 31.4 million through the game. And I'm like, yes. I go back and look at Andrew's, and I send Andrew a message. You know, hey, I beat you. Or no, I take that back. I finish it and I pause it to see what Andrew's message was. Hey, I beat your score. I'm at 31.1 million. Wait, I just got 31.4. So I immediately sent it right back to him. So probably within 5 or 10 minutes after he beat my score, I beat his again. It was pretty great. That's all. I'm guessing that's part of the reason why he's not here tonight. Shame. Or it could be because he's still stuck at work. I choose to believe it's shame.
Both are reasonable conclusions.
Yes.
I have no shame about that because, with the exception of Juriel.
Oh, my God.
I did well. But
500 million.
Yeah, that dude is a.
Wow.
Not just 500, 580 million.
Good God.
Like, that's... took my 80 million that I was relatively proud of and then just destroyed it.
Yeah, that guy is a
480
monster.
480 million. I don't remember.
Yeah, and then he was like, yeah, I think I'll actually take this prize. I was like, damn it! I was positioned that if he didn't, I figured I would have won. Because I kept playing, and Julie's like, why are you still playing if they've got scores better than yours? Because that guy wins every time, and he said he might not. And in the past, he has turned down prizes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other two that are ahead of me are hosts, so they're not going to win.
Yep. We're not eligible.
Yep. Oh, well.
Alex actually asked me about that. He's like, are you sure you don't want it? I'm like, no, I'm a host.
Yeah.
It doesn't count. Oh, Germa came in. Destroyed me. Well, not really destroyed, but I don't even know if he was playing in the tournament or just is on our lists.
Mm. Yet, I have Darren, who does the reviews on our website. He's on my list. I don't have Juriel on my list, but Darren's at the top of my list. He's the one that has the best score on that board on my list.
Well, if you want tips, the forum posting in the Spooky Outhouse forum has Juriel's take on how he did what he did.
Mm.
My thing about it is, like, I think I would get to a certain point and then just quit. Like,
I've done that before. There was an actual pinball table that I used to play at the. There was this place that we would go sometimes with my dad, and there was like this little cafe, and they had a pinball table there, and I remember. One of the guys who was getting ready to get shipped out, he kept playing this table, and he turned around to me because I was like watching him, and he turned around to me. He's like, "Hey, kid, my plane's leaving. You want to take over?" And I was probably, I want to say probably 10 or 11 at the time, and it had like 80 some games on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is the day, you know, this was. You get so many points, and you'd knock, and you'd get the free games. And he literally had 80-some games on there. He had been sitting there for hours, bored, and just playing pinball. And it got to a point where I got it down to about 50 games, and then I started getting good at it. And I started knocking the table. And so by the time it was like, my dad was like, we have to go now. You haven't eaten anything. We were supposed to be here to eat, and we're leaving. So when I left, there was still 30 or 40 games on it. It's like, hey, somebody want these? But yeah, you kind of get to a point where it's like, all right, all the thrill is gone.
Yeah, that would be because if you look at the all-time records, there are people who are in the billions.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, do you just pause and go to sleep? Or because that would take hours.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I don't know. Maybe it turned out that our table was a little too easy, but it was fun.
I didn't think it was that easy. Another thing to note, a couple of weeks ago, I was really late on doing stuff. And during one of the results shows, I asked for help. And S responded, and S is now going to be, I've been kind of showing her the ropes, and she's going to take over doing the scoring for Backseat Box Office. And this week, I got a surprise in my Dropbox from William Paul, who basically recorded the first half of the results show this week. So he's like, hey, I'm looking at this as an audition. What do you think? So he sent me the raw file. I went ahead and edited it and used that as the beginning of the episode. I just recorded the last half because my throat was a little raw, so it actually worked out well. And yeah, so that's been posted. If you guys haven't had a chance, go back and listen to the last results show and see what you think. I think William did a great job, especially because I didn't do it. I think that's wonderful.
But wait, if William Paul takes over the results show, then what are we going to do when we don't have anything to talk about?
I don't know.
On these weeks that Andrew is gone.
We'll talk about video games. Because neither of us are watching movies, so.
That's true.
Oh.
Of course, that might change over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, potentially.
Speaking of movies, I didn't get the chance to tune into the live broadcast. Did David have anything to say about my late Christmas present for him?
Oh, we did mention it. He has committed that if anybody found him, and this gives a little history, and not everybody who listens to this show may be aware, quite some time ago, he put out the call that he had heard that there was this Super Hornio Brothers movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he said if it was ever a situation where someone made it available to him, he would review it and give it an honest review for the podcast, for Backseat Producers. So he's taking a 9-week hiatus specifically to watch these two gems that Jonathan has found and has delivered unto us.
He is going to need...
Yeah.
So he's going to need about an hour to watch them and about 9 weeks to recover.
Yeah. I watched about 15 minutes, so just kind of skipping through.
Yeah.
And I'm no stranger to the occasional pornography. I don't think in anything, any media I have ever seen, ever, acting quite this bad. I mean, and it's got Ron Jeremy in it, but he's not, I mean, from what we saw, it didn't look like he was Mario.
No, he's...
And he's the one in red.
It's weird.
He's in red. He's short. He's fat. He's got the mustache, and he's not Mario.
Yeah, Hornio is the taller guy.
Yeah.
In green, and then, like, Squeegee or something is Ron Jeremy.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that they did that to avoid copyright. Being utterly sued.
Yeah, well... I don't think anybody would take it seriously because, man, it is terrible.
Well, see, that's the thing is...
It looks like it's just raw footage they threw together.
It's really bad, but the thing is, the reason why I ended up finding this was because, like, I knew that Adam had been searching for it.
Right.
And because, I mean, he's talked about it on every podcast he's ever been on.
Right.
But I just read an article on Kotaku or something. They're talking about how somebody else who had never seen it and was, like, obsessing about this film. I use the word film lightly, by the way. Was searching for it. And then in 2009, because, I mean, when Adam has mentioned that he couldn't find it, I went and did some looking. I was like, well, what can we see? He was right. The only thing that you could ever find is the sequel.
Yeah,
well, they were talking about the history of it.
And you can only find it on VHS.
Yeah. And this whole like internet forum went to work to find this one video, going so far as to like find, I don't know how they did it, but find people who originally purchased the film and then like the VHS tape and then like sending them letters saying, hey, can we like get a copy of this somehow?
This is very clearly a VHS dub.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. And so in 09, they finally got hold of it and a few people got to see it. And I found a place that, you know, had the not so legal version of it. But the interesting thing about it is it's so terrible that no one would ever mistake this for any sort of official anything ever.
No.
But Nintendo apparently bought the rights to the movie And that's why it's buried, because they bought, as soon as they could, they bought the rights to the movie and then just buried it.
Wow.
And so that's why you can't find the original anywhere, because Nintendo actually owns the rights to it.
Yeah, it's it is ridiculously bad.
Yeah, it's terrible. But
the computer's getting overloaded. Run, Jeremy's just banging on the keyboard. Two fists in it. Just boom, 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 boom. And not typing. Like all four fingers just banging on the keys. Like he's doing anything. The lights are dimming and raising. It's like, oh man, this is really, really bad.
Yeah.
Then they're all of a sudden in the computer and he's like, yeah. So we watched just a minute of the first one because I jumped to like 15, 20 minutes in just to see what was going on. And and Ron Jeremy's like, we're in that black space that's behind the computer monitor when you turn it off. And I'm like, what?
What?
That doesn't even make sense. Yeah, well, what are we going to do? We need to go deeper into the game. The game you created? Yes, the game I created. Well, who's that over there? We have to get past her. And they turn, and there's this blonde chick in bondage gear. And he's like, that's so-and-so, mistress of bondage. We need to get past her to get into the game.
Yeah.
What? What's going on? I can't wait for his review.
Just the worst thing ever. Like,
yeah. Yes. Yes, it really is.
This is not something I would spend years obsessing over, let me put it that way.
No. And see, and I was completely unaware when you're like, hey, I've got a present for you. It's gonna be coming in the Dropbox, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And he's over there going, I'm so excited. I'm vibrating. I am so excited. What is it? So I spent like an hour just, I had the Dropbox website up because I knew that as soon as it uploaded from whatever you were uploading, it would start downloading and it would take, it must take, and you, because you said it was like 700 megs. So I was like, oh man, this is going to take a while. So I had the Dropbox website open just so as soon as it uploaded, I could see what the file was. And as soon as it came through, it was like the light bulb went off. It's like, oh, that's what he was talking about. Yeah. So, Super Hornio Brothers. And unfortunately, this is only episode 68.
You can just cut all this and we can pretend that it'll happen next week.
No. Next week, puritanical.
Don't even mention it.
No. Hey, it's episode 69. And then just leave it hang out there for a minute. So this week happened. It was rough. We had a new player this week.
I saw that.
BD's nephew Monty. Who got a 24. So great. The new person gets a 24. If you look at the website, because I color code, like if people go up or down in position, I color code the names. So if you go down in rank, your name is red. If you go up in rank, your name is green. If you're new, your name is blue. The first week out, you're blue. And just kind of highlight it. There's the one blue at the top. And every name, except for two, are in red. My name is one of those that is not in red.
Yeah, how did you pull that off? Tad beat you last week.
Ted beat me last week. And then, hang on, I'm pulling up the...
Yeah, Tad beat you last week, and then you got your averages are tied this week, but you...
I scored one better.
By a point.
Yeah, I scored one better than him this week. Yeah. So that brought our averages in line. So we're tied. So technically Tad went down one, but we're tied for fourth. And Tom, who got a 23 this week, did not go down in position. Everybody else did though. Thanks, Monty. Though what it does mean is that S, who lost her asterisk this week, isn't in first anymore. But she's still in second. Because she was the other 24 this week.
So what you're saying is that only asterisks are allowed to be in first place? Is that...
That is apparently the new the new thing. Unless Monty ends up, you know, getting a 15 next week and dropping like a rock. I don't know what's going on anymore. I've completely lost control of this game. Yeah, so why don't you tell us how you and Andrew picked last week?
Well, for some reason, I thought it would be a good idea to pick the same as Andrew. We put at number one Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol.
And it was.
I think it's... I just noticed, because Mission Impossible has the colon in between, they have to do the dash for the...
Yeah. Yeah,
that's interesting.
They do the colon for Mission Impossible. So,
Really, the title of the movie is Mission, the subtitle is Impossible, and then the subtitle? Is that like a postscript?
Probably.
Anyway. At number two, we put War Horse, which that didn't work out.
That did not happen.
That only jumped two spaces and not the predicted 85 that we were expecting. It only came in at fifth. So that's, 3 points off there. Sherlock Holmes, we put at number three, and that came in at number two. So there's a point. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at four. We got that one right at least. And then the Chipmunks movie, we put at number five, and it actually was number three, raising a space this week, which is just wrong.
Yeah.
Gained 30% over last week, which is further wrong. So.
Yeah, War Horse gained 91%. Though, granted, it was only technically out one day.
Yeah.
Last weekend.
Yeah. So, I mean, that I kind of expected. I didn't expect every other movie to gain this week. So.
Yeah. What was actually kind of surprising to me was that, and I don't know why it was really surprising, because it is kind of the title of the movie, is that New Year's Eve actually gained 91% over the week before, which, granted, I guess people said, hey, it's New Year's Eve. Let's go see the movie New Year's Eve. Still nowhere near enough for it to break the top five.
Yeah. New Year's Eve, I was discovering the dangers of real Mexican tequila. So,
real Mexican tequila can be some good stuff.
Well, it was good, but in like one margarita, I was trashed.
So. Nice.
And then I had two more. So yeah, that was a
excellent.
That was a night.
Yeah. So we stayed at home and played board games and watched Kung Fu Panda 2. Though the children and Julie all stayed up until after midnight. I was very impressed. 2 years ago, actually, with the exception of last year, the last 5 years, I think, I've been solo, the only one up. Last year at about 11:30, Julie called it quits. And Holden stayed up. He's like, I'm going to play video games and I'm going to celebrate New Year. By God, he did. And then this year at 12 o'clock, we were all sitting here watching Kung Fu Panda 2. I paused the movie and said, hey, Happy New Year. Then we just kept watching the movie until the end. So how I did, I'm trying to remember / find my picks. I had Mission Impossible at number one. Sherlock Holmes at number two. Those were both correct. I put War Horse at number three, and it was not. Unfortunately, I had Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipwrecked, and the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo in the next two positions. And if I would have just put War Horse at number five, I'd have had a perfect week. But I didn't. I got a 21 this week. Friday actuals actually had, or the, I'm sorry, the Friday estimates, if I'm not mistaken, they actually had War Horse and Alvin and the Chipmunks reversed.
Wouldn't surprise me. They're only 400,000 apart, so.
Yeah, they were really close, and I was trending toward having a 23 on the weekend. And then the Sunday estimates and actuals came in, or the full weekend estimates and actuals came in, and that stopped.
Mm.
Oh, well. This weekend should be interesting, though. We have one new movie.
Yeah, if by interesting you mean...
crappy?
Kind of boring.
Kind of boring, but I don't know how it's going to affect the picks. Because the last 2 weeks have not been really good indicators for how to pick this next week. So the movie we're talking about is The Devil Inside, which I have seen a couple of commercials for. I have not seen a full trailer for it yet, though. The thing that I took away from it is that they're using the conceit that this is kind of a found footage kind of movie.
Oh, they're doing one of those again?
Yeah, and it's supposedly, like, the commercial says something to the effect that the Catholic Church doesn't condone the videotaping of exorcisms, and we're a documentary crew who has, you know, broken that rule. And we're actually following a priest who's an exorcist doing real exorcisms, and this is real footage. And so, hence The Devil Within becoming The Devil Without when they exorcise him. And so there's all kinds of creepy things shown in the commercial. People with eyes that are completely white or gray, and all kinds of wonderful creepiness. So, crappy low-budget horror movie kind of stuff. So I have no clue how this is going to go. None. So, I guess I get to pick first.
Yep.
I get that pleasure. I think my top four are pretty much going to look like how things looked this past weekend. I think Mission Impossible is still going to do solidly well. I don't think there's... First, I don't think there's any chance in hell that the Devil Inside is going to get anywhere near it.
I do wish we had at least just vague numbers on it. Even if they're not accurate, it'd be like 15.
I miss the Derby. I really do miss the Derby.
Yeah.
But HSX is showing it with trading it at $30 a share right now, which doesn't lead me with a whole lot of hope. And that's $30 a share, and it's up $7 today. So, yeah, I don't know what that says. In fact, I'm going to take a look at the chart here. Yeah, it was trading at like $15 a share until October, then jumped to $25. The highest it's ever been is what it's trading at right now. As we record this, it's $31 a share. It has gone up since we started recording. Like a buck. Wow. I don't know what that means. I'm going to stop looking at it, or I'm going to freak myself out and going to change my mind. So number two, I'm going to put Sherlock Holmes, A Game of Shadows. I think that those two have kind of secured their positions until something solidly comes in to knock them out of their place, which might happen next weekend, but we'll see. Number three, I don't know. I'm going to go with Alvin the Chipmunks. I think it's got enough to hang out over Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. So, then I'm going to say Girl with a Dragon Tattoo in fourth. The fifth place one gave me a little bit of trouble. I wasn't sure if I was going to go with the Devil Inside or War Horse. But looking at everything, I think We Bought a Zoo might have something going for it. It may just be the effect of family still seeing movies. Some of the numbers just look decent right now. But you know what? I like Cameron Crowe and I like Matt Damon. So I'm going to go with We Bought a Zoo in fifth place. Worst case scenario, I think it's maybe seventh place.
Yeah.
So all in all, if my top four are right, that means I'm still getting a 23 this week. It's a safe pick, but I think that 5-6-7 range is going to be pretty close, depending on how the Devil Inside does. But I'm going to go in with We Bought a Zoo in fifth place.
I didn't see that. Didn't see that coming. I don't entirely think you're off your rocker for picking it, but wasn't expecting it.
Yeah, I just think War Horse is kind of an anomaly because it did so well that one day.
Mm-hmm.
And then it did okay this weekend, but it really didn't do as well as a lot of the other movies did. If you look at those other movies, had a gain in percentage over a three-day weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the numbers don't support War Horse actually having a gain over a three-day weekend because it was really only out one day. And
well, I don't know if I'd say that. I mean, and Sunday's, this is the mass, and so this is problematic, obviously. But if it's a three-day weekend and War Horse had a 90% increase, isn't that essentially a 30% increase? Or does that not work that way?
No, it doesn't work that way because if you take it over 3 days and potentially you figure Saturday is the biggest day, Sunday probably is generally the second, when Friday is probably the weakest day, you'd figure it probably should have had about a $18 to $20 million opening weekend, basically extrapolating from the one day that it did have.
Mm-hmm.
This weekend it was only at $14 million and change. So it actually would have went down where everything else went up. That's just guesstimation though, because these are all holiday days also.
Yeah.
So who knows? I'm going with We Bought a Zoo.
I think it's valid.
Damn it.
I'm not trying to talk you out of it. I'm just messing with the maths again, so, you know, failing at that.
Yeah, good luck.
I think I'm going to go with you as far as not putting The Devil Inside in my top five, because, I don't know, it could do well, but it could also do horribly, and so I think it's just the safe thing to not pick it.
Yeah, I think this movie is one of those things that I think, if people see it and like it, I think it has a potential to be a spoiler next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's some good buzz coming out of it, people will see it in its second weekend. Because,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's also not opening against anything new.
Yeah.
I could even see it
being a spoiler this weekend, but
well,
just
nothing new came out last weekend, and that's the only thing in new thing in wide release this weekend.
Yeah.
But how many screens is it?
Yeah. How many screens is it? And I never did bother to look how well horror movies do in January. So
yeah.
I don't know. So what I'm going to do is basically I'm going to have the top five from last week, but mess with it a bit. excuse me. I'm going to put MI4, Sherlock, and Chipmunks at 1, 2, and 3. And then I don't think that War Horse is going to do better so much as I expect Girl with the Dragon Tattoo to do worse.
Mm.
And it could end up being a situation where both of those do badly and We Bought a Zoo does well. But yeah, I'm sticking with what I'm going to say. So I'm going to put War Horse at 4. And then Dragon Tattoo at 5. I think those will flip-flop. I think there's enough space between all the other movies that I'd have to see. Even like, I think your logic isn't that bad. I don't think it's wrong, but at the same time, I think that this is the first weekend you have where all of these movies have a full weekend, you know, to go.
It's a full weekend. So, it's not a holiday. There's none of that craziness going on.
Yeah, I figure, you know, it's just one of those things where I don't know. And We Bought a Zoo still just strikes me as a rental, you know? So it's just like War Horse is one of those movies that, you know, it's big, it's action-y, there's stuff blowing up. You'd want to see that in the theater. You know, it's if I went out with my family, I think I would rather go see War Horse and then rent We Bought a Zoo for, you know, quiet family viewing at home. So,
oh, I'm with you there.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's going to translate to anything on the theater, you know, as opposed to who goes sees what, but.
See, then again, I'm with you there, but also there's no way in hell I'll go see Chipmunks at all. So I can't really use me as a good marker here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That is true. But the thing is when it comes to movies where it seems like, I mean, there are the movies where you just know that, like Twilight, we know it's bad. We know it has no redeeming qualities to it pretty much whatsoever.
But we're not the audience for it.
Yeah, we also know that people are going to watch it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And there's nothing we can do about it. And the Chipmunks turns out, I mean, if there was any justice in the world, and if the Chipmunks, you know, got what it deserved, there wouldn't be a third movie.
That's so true.
The fact that there's a third movie at all means that our opinion matters nothing at all about it. But I think for the rest of it, you know, it's relatively, I think, you know, we could take those moments and chuck them. And the other movies, I think we can still apply our opinion to them. Or maybe not. I don't know. Maybe I'm just trying to bump up my own self-esteem here.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how Andrew picks. So I guess here's about where we will put his voicemail when he sends it.
Hey, guys. It's Andrew. I was calling in my picks this week. Obviously, last week I may have overvalued about you'd War Horse just a tidge, perhaps. Didn't come in number 2, came in number 5, so whoops. However, this week, you know, Devil Inside, the only new release. I mean, sure, there's a couple movies that may or may not expand really wide, but I think really the only thing that may or may not break in the top 5 is The Devil Inside, and I honestly don't even think it's going to break in the top 5. Well, it may drop in the top 5. I'm not willing to take that risk. I am willing to leave it off as a safety choice. So what are my picks? Real simple. I'm picking Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol at number 1. Number 2, I'm picking Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows. At number 3, I ponder this a little bit, but I'm sticking with Alvin the Chipmunk's Chipwrecked. And then 4 and 5, you know, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and War Horse within $402,000 each other. So the question is, what's got the better staying power? They've both been out for basically 2 weeks, although Girl opened on Wednesday, where War Horse opened on a Sunday. I'm going to put The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo at number 4 and War Horse at number 5. So, yep, I'm exactly keeping the same 5 that were the same 5 from last weekend. And I guess we'll see how that works out. Hey, William, nice job on the results show, buddy. I liked it. And I will see you guys later. Bye.
So, Devil Inside at number 1.
Yeah.
Interesting. Shocking. Interesting.
It's a gutsy pick.
War Horse at number 2. Didn't see that one coming. What's going to be sad is if he does that, and if it is. That will pretty much just suck.
But it's not a relativity picture.
That is true.
So we don't have that going. So, I mean, if he does put it at, say, he won't do number 1. You can pretty much guarantee he won't. But if he did number 2, that would be frightening.
Yeah.
I would be worried.
All right. Well, you know what? I don't have a whole lot else to talk about here.
Yeah, I think we kind of blew our load early on.
Talking about Super Hornio Brothers. Go figure. All right. So next week, we will see you then.
It'll be a thing.
It'll be episode 69.
We just dropped 100 today. That was pretty
nice.
That was pretty exciting.
Excellent. Yeah, go check out Way of the Game.
I have to remember not to use a zero at the front of my...
Yeah, that took a little getting used to. For me, it was doing the numbering and doing two-digit numbering and then realizing when I was in the 70s or 80s, it's like, we just might get to 100. I'm going to have to renumber everything.
I'm going to need that extra zero.
Yeah, so I did. Renumbered everything. And since then, I do everything with the three digits.
Yeah, that I figured the three digits was a good idea at the start. And thankfully, like, it would be... I don't know, is any show that doesn't release, like, daily... Is there any show that's hit the 1,000 mark yet?
Not yet.
That's a lot of weeks for a weekly podcast.
That's well, technically, I don't think podcasting has been going that long yet. Now, there have been some shows that were internet radio shows before there was technically podcasts,
mm-hmm.
where it was just they were streaming and recording, and you could go out and download their episodes.
Yeah.
But there was no RSS feed to actually make them what is now traditionally considered a podcast. There was stuff like that going before podcasting. Dragon Talk Radio was one of those, I believe, that was like technically pre-podcast.
Hmm.
Or not Dragon Talk Radio, I'm sorry.
Dragon Page.
Dragon Page. Dragon Talk is something completely different. That's John Clement, who I was actually on Dragon Talk Radio... Not this past year before Archon, but the year before. And very good guy. That's how I met Wei He, who has become a figure at Sausage Fest.
Mm-hmm.
She's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There's no denying it.
No, none. I don't know that I'll ever get to that 1,000 mark. Though the... because all of Backseat Producers, Backseat Box Office, and Backseat Quickies, they all share the same folder
mm-hmm.
of media files.
Mm-hmm.
We are getting very close to 400 items in that folder. If I would include all of Tony's Losing Its files, we would be getting very close to 450.
Hmm.
So, yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
That's the last of my interesting news for the week. So.
Cool. That's awesome. Congratulations on triple digits.
Thank you.
We'll be doing it with this podcast in this calendar year.
That is true. It's weird how these things just become... It's like, it's just what you do.
Yeah.
Like, at first I was like, man... Do I have to reevaluate anything if I do actually ever hit the 1,000 episode mark? But it's like, no, it's just, there you go. There's an hour.
Yeah.
It's my weekly hour. It's not really all that.
It doesn't take that much time out of your life. All things considered, I've got a lot of podcasts.
And if we've got awesome people that are, you know, willing to edit.
Exactly. That's what I'm working on now is getting an editor to help out here. If we can make that happen, man, I can see doing 5 nights a week. Let's just make this happen. I am willing to kill some interns for just to hear myself talk. Let's go. I have lots of opinions. I will give you them. Give me the opportunity. All right, let's be done.
All right.
See you next week.
See ya.
My heart hurts making these picks.